Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Triple Train every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
Very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse diet since Sheffield.
Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
Thank you. Well, my name is Martin Simpson, and you're listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org.
Hello and welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm Oliver Dixon.
I'm Bradley Middleton.
And how are you, Brad?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's been an okay week so far.
Yeah.
We're just over halfway through.
Yeah.
And just the two of us today.
Again,
Chris being busy with another interview. We do have an interview to play very shortly with some Sheffield music royalty.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, our very own Lewis is a bit poorly at the minute, so yeah. Get well soon, Lewis. Thought we'd kick off the show with two songs. We started off with ABBA's Waterloo. It is Eurovision this weekend,
yeah.
The final. And I just thought I'd put it over because the most successful band to come out of Eurovision.
Definitely, yeah.
And the most successful song, without question.
Definitely.
Who knew two couples from Sweden would conquer the whole world?
I know, yeah.
And you know, 52 years since their Eurovision win in Brighton, actually. It was hosted in the UK that year.
Oh, nice.
So Brighton can always claim fame for the place where ABBA made their name.
Yeah.
And also playing the Rolling Stones' Rocks Off from their album Exile on Main Street, celebrating 54 years just on Tuesday since that amazing album released. A bit of a different Stones album, it was a bit more up. There was quite a few songs with a bit of naughty language in. So I had a job finding the clean version of Rocks Off, but it's the first album on the tracking of the album, so if you do listen, you will be introduced welcomed by this this song. And 54 years, I didn't realize it was that long ago.
I thought it was more of an 80s 90s thing.
It sounds like it. They're a bit ahead of their time by the sounds of it. We are going to get into the interview in just a moment. We were very fortunate to have this guy being interviewed. According to Chris, he has been on the show, interviewed before on the show. He's here, there and everywhere at the minute.
Yeah.
This man. I am talking about John McClure from Revenant of the Makers, the lead singer, who's been in the news quite a lot recently from being chairman of Sheffield FC, taking over just a couple of months ago. He's also going on tour towards the end of the year, and he's also doing tramlines at the end of July almost.
Nice.
So he still fits Sheffield in there, despite the fact he's not going to Sheffield on his tour, but he is going over the UK, here, there and everywhere. And he's just had a new album come out in the last couple of weeks. So yeah, he's been a busy man recently.
Yeah, I'm very busy.
Very, very busy. Yeah, and he's made some television appearances as well. I think it was Sunday Brunch he was on, where he performed the song we're going to play after this interview. But it was always a pleasure for John to speak to Chris, and we hope to get him in the studio someday. So John, if you are listening, thank you again for taking part in this interview, and we'd love to have you in the studio. We are just going to go straight into the interview that our fantastic Chris Nelly did, and here it is.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Commuters Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ellie here, and we have one of Sheffield's finest singers and songwriters, Reverend and the Makers frontman, John McClure. Good afternoon.
Hey, Chris, how are you, man?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for joining me today.
No worries.
So, give us a bit of background. I mean, how did Reverend and the Makers start?
Oh, wow. Well, I was in a bunch of bands prior to Revenant of the Makers, and also a performance poet, and then I sort of wanted to do my own thing. So it started as a kind of studio project in Stagworks with a guy called Alan Smythe as the producer, me bringing in different musicians to assist me, and eventually got a bunch of songs together and put a band round it, and off we went.
And who were your main influences? And also, if there was anybody that you could work with in the near future, who would it be and why?
My influences when I first started were sort of Gang of Four and John Cooper Clarke and Ian Dury and the Blockheads and that kind of thing. But obviously that were a very, very long time ago. So if I could work with anyone these days, I don't know really. Richard Hawley.
Oh, legend. I mean, to see him in Pulp last year at Tramlines, and I mean, he's such a great musician.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Good friend of mine. I think a lot about Richard. He's a wise sage and obviously one of our finest exports here in the city.
And, I mean, to anybody that wants to break into music, not necessarily the music industry, but music itself, how difficult is it, and what advice would you give to our listeners?
I mean, it's becoming increasingly difficult, especially for working class people, because it's hard to sustain yourself while you're trying to make it. But I guess my advice would be to concentrate on being good. Don't worry about promoting yourself until you've got something that's worth selling, because otherwise you're just flogging a a dead horse, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? So concentrate really hard on getting something that's worth promoting before you start promoting it.
And I've got a controversial question that I'm going to ask, but if you don't want to answer it, it's completely fine. How do you feel about AI being used in the musical industry? How do you feel about AI?
I feel like AI, if we try to use it as a collaborative and creative assistant rather than as something that's come to replace us, then it could be very interesting. And what we might be able to do is to have musical experiments happen quicker. So like anything, if we use it for artistic reasons rather than merely to copy what already exists, then it could be interesting. But otherwise, I'm not really interested in copying music that's already out there. I think that's a waste of a misappropriation of what it's there to do.
Sure. And you've got a new album, and it's a great album, by the way. It's called Is This How Happiness Feels? It's 13 tracks long. I mean, was that always the plan? Did you always have 13 tracks in mind? Or did you?
No, I had a few different ones that some made it, some didn't. And obviously it took a long time to make because my father passed away while I was trying to make it. But I'm very pleased with how it turns out. I re-recorded it because I weren't happy with the way it sounded the first time. Re-recorded it, and I'm very pleased with the way it's turned out.
I want to say I'm so sorry about your dad, John. I'm sorry about that, mate.
Appreciate that, bud.
And you've also duetted with, on this album, with Vicky McClure and Robbie Williams. I mean, how did the collaborations come together?
Well, Vicky I knew because we had a business together called Day Fever, and it just felt like a natural extension of that. And then Robbie were texting me, and I went to stay with him in Switzerland, and we got on like an house on fire, stayed up for 3 days yakking, and ended up doing this tune together. And there's a bunch of shared experiences that I have with Robbie, having been through the grinder of the music industry. So it felt like a kind of quite logical extension of that friendship, really.
And, I mean, did Robbie Williams come to Sheffield when you were recording the song?
No, we did it remotely. I did go to his house in Switzerland, but he recorded it with his producer and sent us the vocal using the wonders of modern technology.
And your album was released on Friday. It's third in the charts behind Michael Jackson and Westlife, which is a huge achievement. But let's try and get you to number one. So what would you like to say to our listeners?
Well, to anyone listening, please note this is the highest new album in the chart. It's the highest album that's actually an album and not a greatest hits. I don't think people should be buying Michael Jackson's records or streaming them particularly these days, owing to, you know, what he ended up doing in his life. I also think the chart shouldn't contain greatest hits and best ofs. I think it should just be about new music with a number one independent record in the country. I worked very hard on this album, and I would like everybody to support us in the chart battle by going to iTunes. You can buy the album for £5 and a CD for £5 on our store. Please support us. Lend us your support. It would be great if people could pay for music because it's becoming increasingly difficult. Not so much for me because I make money from live gigs and stuff, but for a lot of musicians, it's difficult for them to sustain themselves. So wherever possible, pay for your music and support the artist.
And I mean, it's gotten easier for new musicians now because it's like a lot of people can post them on like social platforms like YouTube, Spotify, but it's also made it harder for people to make a living out of, hasn't it, John?
Yeah, it's very difficult because obviously record sales have declined across the board since Brexit. You know, it's very expensive to travel and tour outside of the UK. So it has become increasingly challenging, but we must persist because I think we need music. It plays a big role in society. And we really need to try and, you know, keep music forefront, especially in a city like Sheffield, where, you know, our culture has replaced the steel industry as our primary export, really.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like you say, we definitely need music. And I mean, there's so many different genres out there. I mean, and it's just unbelievable how it must be so difficult for you to choose what genre of music you want to do.
Yeah, but I've always sort of just followed my nose, really, and done whatever felt most natural to me at the time, which is, I think, the job of an artist, really, is to just follow your instincts.
Yeah, I agree. And you've also got a UK tour in November. Will there be any Sheffield dates?
Not in November, mate. No, we are omitting Sheffield on this occasion because we may do something down the line in Sheffield. We are, however, playing Leeds and Manchester and Nottingham. So if you do want to travel beyond the city to come and see us, please do so. And it's going to be otherwise a full UK tour.
And you're also coming to Tramlines in July as well?
Yeah, obviously I was kind of instrumental in helping to start the festival in the first place. One of the founders of the festival, and it occupies a very sort of precious place in my heart. And we are very much looking forward to being back on the Sunday and rocking Hillsborough Park.
And, I mean, I want to say thank you so much for joining me, John. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I've got to ask you as well, I mean, what would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening right now for my final question?
Well, carry on supporting local artists, buy your records, carry on supporting Sheffield Live Community Radio, and really just big love to everyone in the Sheffield and South Yorkshire area. I am one of you, and I feel very privileged to live here. It's a special place, and it's the people that make the area, so big love, everyone who's listening in.
And how can people buy your new record? Is it digital? Will there be physical platforms as well?
Yeah, go to Apple Music. You can download it from there or come to our social media, click on the link in the bio, and you can buy all manner of albums and related products on there.
John, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
I wish you
all the best on your new album, and hopefully let's get it to number one, mate.
Top man. Cheers, Chris. Take care, pal.
Thanks, John. Take care, mate.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
For every high, there is a low. Give us an update on the 10th best band from turn of the century, Sheffield. Started, ooh, would decline a free thing. Heaven knows that's an all too
trying to be summer to the sea.
It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
A big thank you again to John for speaking to Chris about his new album, and we played that song Messed Up featuring the great Robbie Williams.
Yeah.
The music video was actually filmed in Morocco, the two of them just messing around a fire with jackets and everything in a hot Moroccan desert.
So they're just having fun by the sounds.
Just being themselves. And we hopefully speak to John again soon. Fingers crossed at Tramlines. Yeah. That's the nearest time we will probably try and get hold of him. And since last week, you watched the new Iron Maiden documentary, Burning Ambition. How was it?
It was really good.
Please tell me how it was.
I really enjoyed it. It was good.
Was it just the story, or without giving too much away, was it just the story, or
it was just how the band sort of progressed through the years, like when they first started with their original singer, then they get in the current singer and who left and all that. Yeah, it's just how the band have sort of changed through the years, progressed through the years.
And I think they've got better and better each year.
I think they have, yeah.
Started off with the new wave, they called it, of heavy metal, taking a notch up from the likes of Black Sabbath to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Especially in the 1980s when they really made their name.
Yeah.
They were formed in 1975, but they were doing like smaller venues locally. But then the 80s, they really made a name for, especially with the Number of the Beast album in 82.
Yeah.
That really took them off. Mm. Did they do anything about Eddie? Was there any thing about Eddie in the?
Yeah, I think they did mention how he first came about.
How was...
I can't remember off the top of my head. I've slept since then, so I can't remember all the details.
I'm going to have to try and see it, but I have heard it is quite a limited viewing.
Yeah.
So go whilst you can.
Definitely, yeah.
It's not like your normal films where they're in for a month to 6 weeks or whenever they're in now. It's very limited. I am going to do my best to see it. And if not, there's always our fantastic streaming platforms, the likes of Netflix, Prime Video, and Disney Plus, etc.
You could probably rent it for a few quid off Amazon or something.
Yeah, I suppose. And then if you've got Sky... Sky Documentaries or Sky Movies, I'm sure it'll be on there at some point. Because I'd love to see it.
It was good.
I always it's nice to have a change from a music biopic in a documentary form.
Yeah.
Rather than actors. Although I would like to see an Iron Maiden biopic, actors playing them.
So would I, actually. Yeah, that sounds good.
Any filmmakers out there, please gain some ideas just from that.
Yeah.
And just on the topic of heavy metal, movie biopics. Apparently, the Ozzy Osbourne movie is set for 2028, according to Jack Osbourne. So we've got two more years to see how it turns out. We still don't know who the actor is. I think that's been kept a secret till closer.
I think they're going to reveal the actor when they put the trailer out for the film. Maybe
just keep it quiet until that'd be an amazing reveal, rather than hearing a cast before. And just on speaking of Black Sabbath as well, Geezer Butler's been doing some good deeds recently in Wisconsin in America.
Yes.
By aiming to rehouse around 1,500 beagle dogs.
Oh, really?
And because I think he likes his beagle dogs. Yeah. So he's been there recently. I've seen pictures via Planet Rock, Planet Rock's Facebook this morning. He's just having a great time.
Oh, lovely.
And a good deed there. Always look after dogs, please.
Definitely,
They are called a man's best friend for a reason.
They are, yeah.
So do look after them, and if there's a nice shelter for them or to be rescued, please do it. And in the good news of Geezer Butler's good deed, I thought I'd play this next song because it's possibly his best opening, the iconic bass opening with this.
Yeah, definitely.
Perhaps you've seen the title of the song. And the intro is great, and I think it highlights his bass and his skill great as well.
I keep meaning to try and learn this.
it sounds like a fun bass to learn.
Yeah.
Like to give it a go. And we do like some bass on Communities Live, but we are going to jump straight back in. We've got some Black Sabbath here with Nib.
Thank you. Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Black Sabbath with Nib here on Communities Live, with the good news about Geezer Butler with the Beagle Dogs.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's articles about it online. Well, there definitely is. That's how I got the information. That was my source. Released in February 1970.
Yeah.
So early Black Sabbath.
Very early.
And then seven months later, we had the album Paranoid. I don't need to go into detail of how great that album is. We haven't got all day. Early Sabbath kicking off their career. And I saw a thing on TikTok. It's like, imagine listening to the Beatles, Stones, etc. in the 60s for a decade.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you just hear Black Sabbath.
It's a massive change, isn't it?
Huge change. A bit of a shock to the system at the time, I imagine.
Yeah.
But successful nonetheless.
Definitely, yeah.
And I still wish I went to go see the final ever gig last year.
Yeah, really expensive.
That was the big problem.
Yeah.
Although it was more of a festival than a concert.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a heavy metal all-stars. So you had like Metallica, Guns N' Roses, a whole list from smaller upcoming heavy metal bands and performers, all the way up to your classics. Iron Maiden weren't there, though.
Yeah, I think they should have been.
But they might have had a schedule because they are very, very busy at the minute. They're that busy, they won't be at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. They'll accept the induction, but they are touring Australia at the time in November. So, yes, we are going to go back to what I was talking about at the start. It is Eurovision.
It is.
This week, the annual Eurovision,
being
hosted in Austria this year after their victory last year, hosted in Vienna, which is a lovely city by all accounts.
Yeah.
I've never been, but from what I've heard, it is a fantastic little city.
Yeah, it looks lovely from what I've
plenty
seen.
Plenty of stuff to do. Austria's meant to be nice, apparently, just in general,
Especially
if you're a keen skier.
Yeah,
I'm not. Can't ski to save my life. Balance and everything. So if anyone is going over to Austria, I'm not sure. I think they allow people from all over the world coming in. I mean, it'll largely be a home crowd, I imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know how Eurovision works with allowing people in, whether
I'm not sure.
Global people can come in like across Europe.
I'm not sure how they'd do it. I'm not sure.
No, I'd have to look into that. But Eurovision's been going for absolutely years.
I know, it's been going for longer than I thought it were.
Like, I didn't realise it was that long. I knew it was gone a while. Since the 1950s. 1957, actually, at least.
That's a lot older than what I thought it was.
Yeah, that is... That is a lot older than I thought it was.
Hmm.
So coming up to 70 years.
That's mad.
Apologies, it's 1956, I just remembered.
Yeah.
Okay. So 70 years this year since Eurovision started. We've had many good acts, some successful more than others.
Yeah.
ABBA, yeah, again.
Definitely.
We've had some famous faces, though, performing over the years. Celine Dion representing Switzerland 1 year. And Lulu representing the United Kingdom 1 year too. So we have had some famous faces before they got famous.
Yeah.
But Eurovision does help kick off careers.
It does, yeah.
Although in like native countries, they might be huge stars, but other countries might not know of. So for example, in Austria, there might be an act and people in the UK might not know them, but Austria, they're like the biggest thing going. The biggest trend going.
Yeah.
The first Eurovision contest was held in Switzerland.
Oh, really?
But there wasn't many participants, of course, a new thing.
Yeah.
But it's got bigger and bigger over the years. It's massive now, Eurovision. There's millions who watch it across Europe.
There was a film a few years ago, just before COVID, I think.
I think it's the one with Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams.
That's it,
They play, I think, like an Icelandic couple.
Yeah.
And they get into Eurovision, they end up being a huge success.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
I can't remember the name off the top of my head of the film, but I have seen it before.
Yeah.
It was on Netflix at one point. That's how I watched it.
I think it still is. I think last I checked.
I imagine it is now, if around this time, Eurovision time. But we are going to get into the next. It is appropriate I play this song, although it has like caused different opinions of the song.
Okay.
I just thought I'd play it because it is our entry this year for the competition.
Okay.
A relatively unknown person until now, with the stage name of Look Mum No Computer, which is a pretty unique name.
Yeah.
I've never came across that. Because Look Mum No Computer sounds like a little band name rather than a solo artist.
Yeah.
But this song has divided opinions almost. Some like it, some not as much. But here at Communities Live, we stay impartial to opinions. And we don't want to cause controversy or anything.
Yeah.
So we'll keep our opinions to ourselves. Although it does get quite catchy, this song, at times. But we are going to go with the next one. With Look Mum No Computer. And I wonder if he's made the song the title it is this year because Austria is a German-speaking country.
Okay.
The song is called Eins, zwei, drei. If you don't know what that means, it is just 1, 2, 3 in German. And hopefully you like this song.
Max Chance Show is now on from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesdays. Hear eclectic music and a bit of comedy.
There's a place I must go.
No Computer with Einzwei Drei here on Communities Live. So that is our entry for this year.
Yeah.
As I said, it has divided opinions from the UK public.
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine with the vibe of Eurovision, I think there's going to be people getting up off their seats and just
having a little dance,
including the participants, because that's what they do usually when they're sat in their little booths.
Mm.
The last time the United Kingdom won Eurovision was in 1997.
Ah.
It's been that long. It's nearly 30 years since we last won the contest with Katrina and the Waves. It was held in Dublin that year.
Yeah.
In 1997. We won with 227 points.
Ah, okay.
So... Nice. It's been that long.
Yeah.
So even before I was born, they won it. And that film we were on about, we found out the title, well, remember the title.
Yeah.
It's Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga.
That's it.
As I said, it's a story of an Icelandic couple who enter Eurovision.
That's right. Yeah.
And become a success locally. I think when it's set, they are like local legends. They're performing like a little Icelandic bar.
Yeah.
And there's one song they always request to play, and the crowd's like, play this.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was the only song they've ever played. It was that requested in the film.
Yeah.
It was released in 2020 during the summer of that lockdown.
It was,
in a dark time, it brought a bit of joy.
Definitely.
I think it was on Netflix when I watched it anyways.
I just checked, it still is on Netflix.
Still on Netflix. Yeah. So if anyone does have Netflix, do give it a watch.
Yeah, it is good.
And you'll probably get hooked on the song.
Yeah.
It is a quite catchy song.
It's very catchy, yeah.
It is. I can't remember the name of the title, but I can just picture like the beat in my head.
Mm.
And some more Eurovision trivia. And Ireland and Sweden still hold the joint record with wins.
Okay.
Winning seven times each.
Oh, nice.
And ABBA being... one of the Swedish winners, but they are like the two successful countries. Ireland aren't in this year,
okay.
But Ireland had the first person to ever win Eurovision twice, Johnny Logan in 1980 and 1987, respectively.
Oh, nice.
And until Loreen won it twice in 2012 and 2023.
Nice.
So not often that someone wins it twice.
Yeah.
Usually they don't participate twice. It's usually just a one time, and then that's it.
Hmm.
So, coming towards the end of the show in the next few minutes, every time I look away from the clock, 10 minutes goes by at least.
Yeah, time always flies.
I'll turn my head and look out the window, and then all of a sudden, 10 minutes has gone. A bit of travel news though, regarding the trams.
Oh, yeah.
And there are some disruptions expected.
It's on the blue route, is it? Is it blue and purple route?
The blue and purple route, which is the route I actually get, so it's important that I've known about this.
Yeah.
So if you are a public transport user like myself and use the blue route from halfway to Malin Bridge or the purple route from, I think it's Herdings Park to Cathedral, just please plan your journeys.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going for work. Luckily, I'm a bus person when I go to work.
Yeah.
However, when I arrive in the studio... I'm always tram because the train station is just across the road. It's easier to get to.
Yeah, it's just down there, isn't it?
Literally just a simple walk up, unless it's raining because it gets quite slippy on that little path.
Oh, yeah, it does, doesn't it?
And that's without the fountains.
Yeah.
That is without the fountains. But yes, do plan your journeys as well. The yellow route should be fine. If you want to do shopping at Meadowhall, etc.
Yeah.
And the Rotherham...
the tram trains.
Tram trains, yes. I wonder how many people's gone to Magna, actually, since it opened. About over a month since it opened.
Wasn't the works on the tram train route as well recently, or is that done?
I think that's done.
It's done now.
Because I know there was one running when I was in town just last week.
Because I've been meaning to go to Magna since the tram train.
Same here, busy lives.
Yeah.
Busy lives.
Other stuff going on.
Yeah, including being here, which is always, I'm not going to complain, it's always a pleasure being here. Just sat.
We always enjoy it, don't
sat, we? Sat around this table, talking, playing music.
Yeah.
Plenty of good music. Yeah. Although we've gone kind of against what we usually do. It's usually what we choose, but I thought with Eurovision coming up,
do something related to that.
Yes, yeah. It is highly relevant. It is, although it's world famous now. Actually, I used to think it was just Europe exclusive, but Australia participates, and America caught wind of it. I mean, that's how they know who ABBA are.
Yeah,
but America don't participate, of course. I can't remember the reason why Australia participates. No.
I'm not sure.
Because I remember it was a bit... People like, raised a few eyebrows at that, but they've not won it as of yet. But they are in... I think they are in this year. So Eurovision will be broadcast on Saturday night from Vienna. I think it's their like City Hall, their equivalent of. I think it's slightly bigger than Sheffield City Hall, though. It's like a proper... It's almost like an arena capacity.
Also, it's quite big then.
Yeah, well, Eurovision always has like quite big venues.
Yeah.
For a big competition, all those fans getting in. And we'll see who the winner is and who votes who.
Yeah.
But we are at the end of the show, unfortunately, again. Because I hate this time. This time on a Thursday. So when it gets, once it gets to like 10 to 5 to 1 on a Thursday afternoon, it's the only time I hate.
Yeah.
The whole week.
Well, we have to leave here.
And wait another week to come in.
Yeah.
I mean, but we hope you enjoyed the show this week. We've had a good show. Bit of Eurovision talk, a bit of heavy metal talk and news, and our interview with John McClure from Revenant of the Makers earlier, and introducing the show with some Stones and some ABBA. And so plenty of content in a packed in into an hour. It's amazing how much content we get through, actually.
I know, lots of stuff.
I'm very surprised about that, and with the time going quick, too. But we shall be back next Thursday, fingers crossed, all being well, and maybe even the four of us back together again.
Hopefully.
But as I say, busy lives. Chris is producing interviews left, right, and centre. If you check out the Sheffield Live, the Sheffield Live YouTube channel at Chris Sinelli at Sheffield Live, you'll be able to listen to the interview played today and other interviews from the past, because there's loads on there. You can spend hours doing it. And yes, we're going to end the show with another Eurovision song from a few years ago, and it was when the UK came this close of winning the competition 4 years ago now. I can't believe it's been that long. With Ukraine winning that year with Kalusha's Stefania. But we did host the year after on their behalf due to
what's going on.
Yeah, don't want to get into too much detail about that. Yeah. Don't upset people. But Brad, thank you for joining me opposite this table.
Yeah, I always enjoy being here.
We always do, although it does get warm in the studio sometimes. And talking sometimes takes its strain.
Too bad we can't open these windows.
Yeah, although you hear the great outdoors.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week, as I say, with much more content. I can't give a preview this week, so we're just going to conjure up something during the week.
Yeah.
We are going to finish with some Sam Ryder, though. As I said, finished second in 2022. Okay. And he was in a few things after this, kind of made his name.
Yeah.
I think he did a New Year's show, end of that year, too.
Oh, did he?
Yes, we are going to go with Sam Ryder's Spaceman. Once again, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
See you next week.
If I was an astronaut, I'd be floating in midair, and a broken heart would just belong to someone else down there. I would be the center of my lonely universe, but I'm only human, and I'm crashing down to earth. If I was an astronaut, I'd have a bird's eye view. I'd circle around the world and keep on coming back to you. In my floating castle, I'd rub shoulders with the stars, but I'm only human and I'm drifting in the dark.
space and you. And I wanna go home. If I was an astronaut, I'd speak to satellites. My navigation systems would search for other life. But I'd be up and thinking about what I left behind. 'Cause I'm only human with the